Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome again to the National Sports Report Sports Radio. I'm your host, Coach P. Joining me, as usual, is my guy, Akili Smith, former NFL quarterback, and again, the guy that we know should have been the first Oregon Duck to win the Heisman Trophy. Akili, how was your week? What's going on in the world of Akili Smith training?
It's going pretty good, bro. Just finished up a 7-on-7 tournament that grossed my junior college, went pretty well. Looking to market and get going on another 7-on-7 tournament here. So be on the lookout for some dates. And then outside of that, living life, married, raising my kids, and, training some other little clients on the side.
I hear that, man. I hear that. Also joining us is Coach David the Duck Riley, a man with over 25 years of college, NFL, youth, high school, lingerie football league experience. This guy has it all. Coach Duck, how are you, brother? Calling us from Tampa in that great weather. You had to get out of that cold weather. How you doing today?
Hey, Coach, I can't take this heat down in Tampa. But anyway, you need to save some of that for my eulogy. But anyway, we're having a great time down here.
I hear that. I hear that, Coach. So tell us, what's going on in Tampa right now? You're down there for a Glazer clinic. Tell us what's going on.
Yeah, we're down here getting ready to do some X's and O's with some of the college pros, high school, and youth coaches just to try to get better. As I'm hoping that a lot of the coaches get better as staff. This is, a great opportunity to kind of do some social handshaking and, whatever needs to be done to, make sure they get on top of that game. But more importantly, I just wanted to give a shout out to Artavia Jackson, Shauna Jacobs, two entrepreneurs who I met last week in Atlantic City who are touching lives through WWW Life by Wisdom. And they're doing this by T-shirts with the messages, poetry, and tutoring. So I just want to give them a shout out.
And give us that website again one more time, Coach.
Again, it's www.lifebywisdom.com. And Coach Kelly, just for you and Coach P, I gave them an opportunity to go with Team Duck or Team Empire. So I'll know after tonight which way they went.
I hear you. I hear you. Well, as usual, they're going to get an opportunity to choose in our this or that segment. And guess what? We got a great show today. We're going to talk a little bit about the state of the running back and how that is going to affect the youth and high school running back going forward. We're also going to talk to a bunch of great ladies in the cheer department talking about the state of basically competitive cheer in the United States. So I'm really looking forward to getting into that. We're also going to talk to our guys at NFL Flag San Diego. They got a big event coming up here in San Diego this Saturday at Poway High School. Cam Newton's going to be there. A lot of Charger greats are going to be there, including the Chargers head coach. So we're going to get right into it, Coach. There's a lot of stuff that's been going on this week, particularly with the running back position. And me being a former running back and you being a former running back yourself, Coach Duck, we got this this quarterback in here, that may feel a little different than we do. But us running backs, man, we got to stick together. We're going to talk about the plight of the running back now and, again, how that's going to affect the younger guys. In youth football, most of the kids want to play running back because those are the guys that score the touchdowns. But we see in the NFL there is a developing trend that is devaluing the running back position. When you look at the trades that happened today in Philadelphia, you got a very dynamic back that was traded to the Buffalo Bills for a linebacker with knee issues, who was out the whole year. You got DeMarco Murray, who basically the Cowboys told after having an 1,800-yard rushing season that he can go and find another deal if he could. I'll start with you, Duck, again, as a former running back and a very good one. Tell us what's going on with the running back position and how that may translate to the way the game is played at the youth level.
Well, you know, everything, we both know that the running back position is being devalued. I looked at the salary cap, and I was in shock that now, at this day and time, that the running back is probably the fourth lowest as far as putting that franchise tag on a running back. And you, if you think 10 or 15 years back, they had to be up there at least with the quarterback as far as the franchise tag and making money. Everybody knows that everything's a copycat, you know, NFL, college, youth, high school is a copycat league. So if I'm a youth coach, I'm looking at what the college is doing, the high schools are doing, and the pros are doing. They're doing the same thing because those kids are now that normally would play running back are playing different positions. You know, they're playing more of a wide receiver, and a running back is not getting the touches that normally they would get probably when we were growing up, Coach P. And
absolutely,
more and more leagues are doing that. They're kind of, you know, they're not eliminating them, but they're kind of going to more of the open passing games and doing more of dumping the ball to the running backs instead of handing the ball off to them.
Absolutely. And Akili, I'll ask you this, being a guy that runs a lot of 7-on-7 tournaments, I know you train some of the premier guys here on the West Coast. What are you seeing, you know, with this evolution of the passing game and how that is almost essentially phasing out the running back position, in my estimation? What do you think about that?
I think the biggest thing is that offenses are now demanding the defense to cover the entire field. So, for example, if we throw a bubble route, from our perspective, that's just an extended run play. If you call the Oregon game, Oregon kept running those quick screens in a boundary against Florida State, and all that is an extended running play. Once the corners jump up, we'll fake that, you know, that quick screen out there on the perimeter, and then we're going over the top, and obviously it works. So basically what they're doing is it's crazy what's going on. They are devaluing a running back, but we got to get back to I formation, strong, weak, running our counters, our leads, and things of that nature. And I think this little phase of football is going to phase out shortly.
And I'm glad you mentioned that too, Akili, because one thing that when you look at the Oregon offense and you look at the Chip Kelly offense in the NFL, one thing I noticed last year was these guys are not good in the red zone. It caused the Philadelphia Eagles a lot of games because they're not good in the red zone. Also, time of possession is an issue. If you can't completely dominate teams on offense, teams have a chance to win. And if they stop you one time, you know, you're pretty much done. So, again, I'll pose this to you first, Akili. Where do you see offenses going, understanding that being the case, particularly in the NFL? I mean, you got to have a running game, I believe, in the NFL. How do you see that affecting, you know, the way offenses play in the NFL, seeing as, like you said before, running backs now in the 7-on-7 game and the passing game are being asked to do a lot more in the passing game? How do you see that evolving to the NFL game?
Like Coach Duck said, it's just a, you know, copycat deal going on right now. Everybody's kind of looking at the film and seeing what's worked. Once somebody puts on film how to stop the spread offense, the bubbles, the quick screen, and things of that nature, we'll start to see offenses going back to 21 personnel, 22 personnel, which Chip needs to add. Trust me, I know, because I've been watching Chip's offense at Oregon and in Philly. And we got to get back into that. When we get on the 1 yard line, 2 yard line, we got to bring those tight ends in the game. We got to bring those fullbacks in the game and just line up and run power, run counter, run outside zone, and just try to square your shoulders, put your foot in the ground, and score some touchdowns.
Anything to add, Coach Duck?
Yeah, just and Killer is hitting it right on the head, you know, the nail right on the head, because the thing is, when was the last time we seen a running back that couldn't get a third and one, a fullback that couldn't make a block where the running back couldn't get third and one. When have you ever seen somebody throw on third and one?
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Well,
we saw
a team throw the ball on a second and one situation, and it caused them a Super Bowl. So we do know the importance of the running back, and I'll leave this discussion there. And I want to get you guys' feedback on this. We know that Russell Wilson is probably about to be the highest paid quarterback in NFL history.
Right.
Do either of you guys think that happens if Marshawn Lynch is not there?
I'll go first. I would definitely say no, and I argue with my friends and peers all the time. If you plug Aaron Rodgers into that offense, if you plug a Peyton Manning into that offense, if you plug a Brady, whoever into that offense, I think they would be successful as well because of the 12th man. You got a solid defense. You got Marshawn Lynch. There's a lot of things going on right now in Russell Wilson's favor to make him one of the elite quarterbacks in the league.
Coach Duck?
Again, you know, I better stop following Achilles. But anyway, the thing is, with Marshawn Lynch, just give him the football. If I'm Russell Wilson,
yeah,
I got to give him half my salary.
Yeah.
He is no doubt one of the best running backs in the league.
Absolutely.
Without him, I don't think they would have went as far as they did. Some games he just took the game over.
Exactly.
I mean they don't call this young man beast mode for nothing, and in my opinion, you know, he is definitely the best running back in the league. He definitely needs to get paid. And I mean, you saw in the beginning of the year, I mean, he had to almost hold out and give money back so that they would give him a little bit of extra money so that he could get paid what he's worth. And guess what he did? Basically just led the team to another Super Bowl appearance. So we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back. And when we come back, we're going to come back with two ladies that know what they're dealing with and know what they're talking about when it comes to cheer in the United States. And we're going to basically talk about, is cheer a sport? Should it be considered a sport in high school? Or should it be, you know, a club, which is what it is now? So we're going to take a break, and we're going to take a break, and we're going to be right back. You're listening to NSR Sports Radio, football news at every level.
Hello, San Diego. This is Coach Rod Williams with Step Academy, speed to enhance performance. You can look us up at our website, stepacademy.net. I'm listening to San Diego's best sports radio show, the NSR Sports Radio.
Looking for football news at every level? Then look no further. The National Sports Report and NSRFootball.com are proud to present NSR Sports Radio. Join your host, Coach T, as we break down the trending topics in the NFL, the NCAA, high school football, youth football, and beyond. Also joining us are former NFL quarterback Achilles Smith and Coach David Riley in our Ask the Duck segment. These two guys have over 25 years of football experience, and they are waiting to share it with you. Join all the action every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, only on the National Sports Report. Football news at every level.
Collect your favorite NFL players. Upgrade with stars from the past and present, and dominate your rivals on the field. This is the next level of fantasy football. This is where the season never ends. This is where legends are made. This is Madden Ultimate Team.
I'm Coach Robbie Preston, offensive coordinator of the DCSAA state champion Eastern Ramblers Senior High School, and you're listening to the NSR Sports Radio, football news at every level.
And welcome, welcome, welcome back. Thank you for staying with us in the National Sports Report, football news at every level. And it's brought to you by the Never Had It So Good Media Network. And I just want to say shout out to Princess Cooper. If you're listening, you are my hero. So now we are going to, and this is, I've been waiting for this. I've been looking forward to this segment all week. This is our This or That segment, but this week is going to be a little different. We're going to be bringing on, again, two of the premier cheer coaches in the country, Miss Kim Gaskin and Miss Haddock. Are you guys on the phone? So we got a little bit of issue, but we're going to talk about that until we get those guys in. Coach Duck, you being an educator and being in that deal, talk to us about some of the challenges that some of these cheer coaches face, you know, to raise money to be competitive in this game.
Well, speaking as a former athletic director, when I first got there, cheerleading was not a sport, and it's not considered a sport in the state of New Jersey. Therefore, they were under me as far as their supervisor when I first got there. Then when a new principal came in and looked at what the state said, they removed them from me, and they ended up being a club. I didn't say anything about it. I didn't know a lot about cheering because at that time, no one that I knew was involved into cheerleading. So until I met these two young ladies, you know, without a doubt, cheerleading should be a sport. They are very competitive. They work just as hard as any of my teams that I had while I was at Willamboro High School. The challenge that they meet is now they would have to fundraise, whereas some of the other sports, we had money allocated for them. So that makes it very difficult. You know, you got 16, 17 young ladies that got to go out and solicit help to get uniforms, pom-poms, or whatever that they would need to be successful, that trips that they do, either the parents put in money or they fundraise. And and I'm going to let them, you know, when they get on, tell you more about themselves. So I'm just saying from an athletic director's viewpoint, it should be considered a sport. But, you know, this is just one person talking. The state says it's not.
Well, I one thing, I'll add a few cents, is, you know, I've coached high school football for a while. You know, one of my stints in coaching high school football, I was at San Diego High School. Shout out to San Diego High School. Their cheer program trained almost as hard, if not harder, than the football team did. So, I mean, in my opinion, I believe it should be considered a sport, even if only – from a financial allocation standpoint, I think that, you know, a lot of these young ladies, they work really hard. And Coach, you know, you can attest to this, and Akili, you can jump in as well as a trainer. You know, we know that at a lot of the times, and I'm also the father of a little girl, you know, who is into dance and that type of stuff. One thing I know about the little girls is once they put their mind to it, once they get dedicated to a certain sport or a certain ordeal, I mean, they're sold in. You don't have to tell them to come to practice. You don't have to tell them to be on time. Once they've made up in their mind, you know, that this is the path that they want to take, usually, you know, the little girls are the ones that make it happen. So from my standpoint, I think that it should be considered a sport and that they should allocate, you know, more money to things like this because of the competitive nature. When you look at from the youth standpoint, I mean, we see this all the time when we go to Florida and we take teams to Florida. These young ladies participate at a high level. I mean, the cheer competitions with the acrobatics and the things that these young ladies are asked to do, it's amazing. So for my money, I think that it is a sport. So I want to see if we've got Kim and Serena on the phone. Are you ladies there?
They just text me, say that they're listening to music.
Okay. So we're going to keep on talking about, and I apologize if you're listening out there, because I was really looking forward to this segment and hearing what these young ladies had to say about this very, very, very competitive world. Because when I think about it, Coach, I think about the movie Bring It. Those are the things that I think about, you know, with this with this deal, you know, with the competitive cheer, and a lot of it has a lot of dance element to it and a lot of things like that. So again, I don't think that this is something that is necessarily a club situation. I really believe that this thing should be a sport. And Akili, I know you're the NFL guy, but I got to get your opinion on this. Do you believe, based on what you've seen, and you've been coaching high school football for a while now too, seeing that the dedication that these young ladies put into this, do you believe more money should be allocated to female cheer and female dance in school?
No question. Some of the girls out there spend a lot of time in the gym. I see them on the sideline all the time doing flips and tumbling. You got male cheerleaders out there who are holding cheerleaders up in the air with one arm. I wasn't well-versed on the lack of funds concerning the cheerleaders, but this is just absolutely ridiculous. And something has got to happen, like ASAP. And, you know, once again, I would love to hear it from the people who are in the trenches with these cheerleaders about some of the concerns that they have, because the cheerleaders actually help the game. They keep the crowd into it and all those type of things. And that's what we need definitely in the sport of football as well.
And I'll tell you this much. For me, you know, and especially going through on this ride with my boys, you know, right now my son is a junior in high school. And one thing I see, the way that these young ladies, the acrobatics and the things that they do, the way that they put themselves at risk, you know, the way that a lot of the players do with the sport. Again, I definitely believe that they should, you know, get, again, from a standpoint of finance,
yes,
they definitely should get some of that allocation. And it looks like we're having a little bit of technical difficulties getting them on the phone. They're actually there, but we're having a little bit of technical difficulty. So what we're going to do is we're going to come back to that, okay, and we're going to get right into the Ask the Duck segment. So we're going to do that right now, Ask the Duck. So we got a great, 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 great question today. Excuse me. We got a great question today, and that question comes from – sorry. Got to get my notes here. That question comes from Curlin Beck out of Raritan, New Jersey, and the subject is on football training, okay? So the question is, with all the stress on our youth football players trying to be the best, and the parents seem to be clueless about weight training, what age would you advise youth players to start with the weights?
Okay, that's a great question from Carolyn Beck. Before I answer the question, Serena and Kim can hear us, but we can't hear them.
Right, because we got a little bit of, we got some blog talk issues. It's basically frozen.
Okay.
So we're going to come back to them. So there we go.
Okay. All right. First of all, and this is just my opinion, I wouldn't have them start lifting until they're going into the ninth grade. As an eighth grader, getting ready to go into the ninth grade, I believe in the plyometrics, the sit-ups, the push-ups. When you're in the fifth, sixth, and seventh grade, going into the eighth, to strengthen yourself, to strengthen your body. Reason why I'm saying that, the eighth grade, going as an eighth grader, there you should be teaching more than lifting, teaching them the proper technique, how to lift weights. I think the early ages are too young for that. We have a lot of kids that go in the weight room and start lifting improperly, end up injuring themselves. I was reading from the combine that a couple of guys had injured themselves, and they didn't even know that they had injured themselves at an early age from not learning how to lift weight. So to answer
right.
the question, I'm thinking at least 13.
And you know what? I agree with that. And Coach, I mean, we see it all the time, and particularly, and I'll give you a story. You know, one time I was a coach with FBU, with the East Bay All-American game. And it's interesting talking to other coaches around the country and getting their perspective on off-season training and that type of stuff. So I asked this one coach who will remain nameless. I said, okay, so what are some of the things that you guys do in the off-season, you know, to get good? You know, we all know about Texas football. Those guys eat, breathe, and sleep football. So he said, and we're talking about, Coach, we're talking about fifth, sixth, and seventh grade football now. Fifth grade football now. And I say to him, hey, what are the things that you're doing? He replies to me, well, as soon as the football season is over, we start our weight training program off season. I said, for fifth graders? He said, Coach, if we didn't do it, we wouldn't be able to compete. So, I mean, we see that in some parts of the country, these guys are starting them off young. And I'm really inclined to agree with you, Coach. You know, you really should not start these guys at such a young age. I think 13 is the right age. And that's when I started my son, you know, actually lifting weights. That's when I started him. Now, Coach, is there any scientific, you know, thing that you know, you've come across in your years that kind of – you know, supports your reasoning, or is this just how you feel about it, you know, based on your what you've seen over the years?
Well, basically, it's my opinion, but what I did do when I was coming up and when I hear players that were coming up under my supervision or my tutelage, I wanted to make sure I get the proper information, because at one time, and I'm sure Achilles can attest to this, they said that lifting weights early would stop your growth.
Right.
And so what I did, I wanted to learn as much about that as possible by asking some of the experts. And each doctor that I spoke to said that they didn't have any knowledge of that stopping your growth, but they thought it would be better if the kids mature enough to start lifting weights, and also at 13 when they return becoming an adolescent to start lifting weights. So, you know, it's a lot of different myths out there. So my thing was, just from my opinion and working with kids, I always thought that was the best thing for my program.
Absolutely, absolutely. Kelly, you had something else to add?
Yeah, and you know, to piggyback off of Coach, he hit it on the nose. I think, you know, at that age, you should be really focusing on just the speed ladders, the cone drills, you know, proper stance and start. You can't do anything without your stance and start. You got to play from the waist down and just making sure their eyes are tied to their feet from a quarterback standpoint, and getting their keys and reads down pack. You know, to put a kid on a weight program that early is just absolutely incredible. Obviously, Texas football is different, and I think we all know that because they have mega stadiums out there in high school. You got high school coaches out there making six digits. You got offensive coordinators out there making six digits, so it's a little bit different out there. But I totally think we should just be working on balance and athleticism and stuff like that at that age.
I'm gonna put a stat out there, too, for all those listeners out there. You know, because Akili brought up a very, very, very good point about Texas football being different with the mega stadiums. But basically a poll taken last year, California has 251 players in the NFL, and they're the number one state as far as players in the NFL, next to Florida, who had 211, and I'm sorry, Florida, who had 184, Ohio, who had 100, and then Texas, who was last. So, you know, for all those that don't think we play big boy football on the West Coast, think again, okay? All right, so we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back with, again, a very exciting a very, very exciting segment. We got our technical difficulties taken care of. We're going to have the wonderful Miss Kim Gaskins and the extraordinary Serena Haddock on the show. You are listening to NSR Sports Radio on the Never Had It So Good Media Network.
Hello, San Diego. This is Coach Rod Williams with Step Academy, Speed to Enhance Performance. You can look us up at our website, stepacademy.net. I'm listening to San Diego's best sports radio show, the NSR Sports Radio.
Looking for football news at every level? Then look no further. The National Sports Report and NSRFootball.com are proud to present NSR Sports Radio. Join your host, Coach T, as we break down the trending topics in the NFL, the NCAA, high school football, youth football, and beyond. Also joining us are former NFL quarterback Akili Smith and Coach David Riley in our Ask the Duck segment. These two guys have over 25 years of football experience, and they are waiting to share it with you. Join all the action every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, only on the National Sports Report. Football news at every level.
Collect your favorite NFL players. Upgrade with stars from the past and present. And dominate your rivals on the field. This is the next level of fantasy football. This is where the season never ends. This is where legends are made. This is Madden Ultimate Team.
I'm Coach Robbie Preston, offensive coordinator of the DCSAA state champion Eastern Ramblers Senior High School, and you're listening to the NSR Sports Radio, football news at every level.
And welcome back to NSR Sports Radio, football news at every level, brought to you by the Never Had It So Good Media Network. And finally, we got two great young ladies on the phone, Miss Kim Gaskin and Serena Haddock. How you ladies doing today? Hello. Let me tell you guys something. I'm going to tell you guys a quick story, all the guys listening out there, you know. And I usually save my Coach P rant for the end, but I'm going to do it right now while we're waiting for the ladies. Okay, I recently put a post out on Facebook, okay, that says, believe in your brand.
Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
Here
we are. Hello. We're here.
We're here. Oh, my goodness.
Touchdown.
I thought you guys were going to make me have to go into my Coach P rant for nothing. I like to save that to the end. How are you guys doing today?
Awesome. Thank you.
Okay, so we're going to get right into it. You know, first of all, if you could, and I'll start with you, Kim, tell us a little bit about yourself and tell us a little bit about your program.
Sure. Well, first off, I am actually an alumni to Burlington Township High School. That's where I've coached for 26 years. We are a very diverse program of incredible athletes. We have a varsity team, a JV team, a middle school team, and a junior high team. We work very closely with our rec programs to try to build, and you guys had some great conversation about our youth and how we can help them enjoy just being a part of the sport, right? So I have spent the majority of my career coaching cheerleading. I am our state president of the New Jersey Cheer and Dance Coaches Association, and
wow.
we are very honored to have three national titles under our belt and 17 state titles. And Serena, I'll throw it over to you, and you can talk a little bit about your background.
I'm not really sure if you can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, ma'am. We can hear you just fine.
Oh, fine. Great. How is everyone doing?
Good.
I'm Serena Haddock.
Serena, can you turn your radio down?
Well, actually, I don't have a radio on.
Okay. Continue. I'm sorry.
Do you want me to call back in?
No, you're good. You're good.
Okay. Well, first of all, it's a pleasure to be on the station, and Kim and I have been coaching together, actually, for about 18 years. We're both graduates of Burlington Township High School, and we're both cheerleaders from the past from Burlington Township High School, and I have had the pleasure of being able to coach such a magnificent and talented athletic program where we have started from the, I would say, the prerequisite of what cheerleading used to be, which was the amazing point of sideline and structure and just the whole aspect of being in the school spirit mode, to the point where we are very athletic and competitive, to the point where we have been nationally identified across the nation and within the state.
Wow. Wow, that is a very impressive resume. So you guys both talked about national championships. Tell us about the significance, and I'll stay with you, Serena. Tell us about the significance of winning a national championship in the cheer realm.
Well, first of all, it's very humbling, because when you have a program that starts off, you know, as an, I would say, an underdog for years, the Northeast had to play catch up with learning the idea of competitive cheer. You know, we did it very well on the sidelines, cheering for our team and being supportive, upholding the spirit of the school and the program. And what we learned quickly was, you know, there was this thing called competitive cheer going on in the South, and we wanted to know something about it. So we actually did our homework. You know, Kim and I sat back and, you know, started pulling in the best of the best to figure out how to do it. And over the years, we started realizing that it took a lot of strength training. It took a lot of, you know, statistical skill as it relates to technique and strength and tumbling. And piece by piece, we put it together. Finally, over the course of, you know, the years, we started climbing that mountain. And once we got to the point where we actually won a national title, it was probably the most humbling experience, because we didn't just share it with our program, but we shared it with our community. And we shared it with every cheerleader that ever came through Burlington Township cheerleading, because we kind of connected that win to every cheerleader from the past. So it was more meaningful, because many didn't realize that, you know, this small, diverse school out of Burlington, New Jersey, could actually climb to a level of winning a national title.
Wow. That's very impressive. And I'm one of those ones that believe winning a national championship at any level, in any sport, is very, very, it's very difficult. So, and it's, you know, so one of those, that's one thing that I can say, you know, wow, my hat's off to you guys. So I'm going to pose this question to you, Kim. Tell us how many young ladies go through your program, you know, on an annual basis? How many ladies do you see annually in your program?
We have a small school, which means our high school has less than 1,200 students in it. And so normally, like this year at Nationals, we took 100 coaches and staff, I mean cheerleaders and staff. So for us, for the most part, I would say our numbers run between 50, 75. with our younger athletes that we're now taking to taking with us to nationals, those numbers have increased. And for our youth, what we really try to do is they've chosen cheerleading, right? So we want them to enjoy it and love it. But they, you know, they are gutsy. They are spirited. They want to be successful too. And it's amazing to me at a young age how if you can train athletes on the simple skills, right, teach them how to focus, teach them what competitiveness means, because it doesn't always mean you learn how to win. You got to learn how to, you know, no matter what the situation, come out of it and make that a, you know, an opportunity to learn and to excel and to be better than you were before. And so, you know, we try to keep the kids committed and build a framework where they're training, where they can appreciate each other as a team. And then at the end of the day, this thing which we call Team Burlington, which is Together Everyone Achieves More, is our theme, it's our team theme, and we live by it and we believe in it.
Kim, you got me ready to do a backflip in here. Okay. You got me.
That's okay. I can spot you. You know, we can talk about the sport thing.
For real. So tell me, and I'll stay with you, Kim. Tell me about one of your biggest success stories, and then if you could, Serena, just elaborate on that as well.
Okay, I think for us, okay, so for our athletes, and this is for any sport, right, you have a foundation. So that foundation is built on the skill that you learn at, let's say, training camp. So it's how much knowledge and understanding that you have about the sport. Then the middle part of that pyramid is called teamwork. We're all in this together. So we got to learn how to succeed together. We got to learn how to, you know, fight challenges together. We got to learn how to win together, right? And then there's the pinnacle, which is the top of that pyramid. And I believe that the top of that pyramid is something which I call spiritual. And when you don't, it's hard to describe, but when you feel it, you know it. And so for me, the year that we first won nationals, 2 days before we left, one of our athletes' mothers passed away suddenly. And let me just put this quick shout out. We are a part of a documentary movie called American Cheerleader. You can go on iTunes and see it. It's a great movie, no matter, you know, if you're a cheerleading fan or not, but it really shows the athleticism of these athletes. And, you know, this story about this kid is 2 days before nationals, her mother passed away. And, you know, we were really shook because it was so alarming in so many ways. And as a coach, you know, you always want the win. You want your team to be ready for nationals. And it had to, you know, we had to refocus on the kids and what was important for us to get through this trip. And when I say spiritual, I'll never forget before we went on the floor, I believe every athlete, every coach in their heart wanted the win, not because we wanted to show that we were great, because we knew that if we could go out there and perform at our best ability, it would make a difference in Carly's life. It would give her purpose, right? It would give us all purpose. And I can say that, you know, one of the most moving parts as a coach wasn't necessarily winning that national title, but knowing that the team of athletes that were on that floor took their skill to a higher level and a higher purpose and a higher spirit that gained them something that they wouldn't be or we wouldn't be able to do individually.
Wow. 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 I mean, that is inspiring. And again, it basically, what I see from, you know, coaches of any genre, it really, you guys bring that passion and that dedication and that team building. So, you know, to all those guys out there that are listening right now who don't think that cheer coaches do the same thing that football coaches do, that they don't have to inspire, you guys need to think again. You guys really, really need to think again. So I'm gonna end it because we're running out of time, and we're going to have you guys back on. Once you guys have been on NSR Sports Radio, you're family. So just so you know,
thank you.
So when I show up
thank
for Thanksgiving,
thank you so very much for your
don't,
time.
Don't act like you don't know me when I show up for Thanksgiving.
Nah. Not at all.
Okay,
not
so,
at all.
So, and I'll pose this to Serena, and then Kim, you can also jump in here. Where do you ladies see competitive cheer going? Where do you see this, you know, in the next 5 years?
For me, I believe that cheerleading is growing on all levels, not just from the younger level within the recreation or Pop Warner, not just from a high school perspective with the athleticism and competitiveness, but now there's cheer companies all over the nation and the world that are doing this thing called All-Star as well. So there are different spectrums. And what's happening is that these companies are growing, the athleticism is growing, and the high school programs itself, they're starting to catch on to the idea of, you know, we're not just great sideline cheerleaders, but we can also be athletic as well. And for a lot of years, the misconception was that, you know, cheerleaders, you know, the responsibility was not only just to show spirit in the school and cheer for the teams that, you know, they're cheering for, which is very important, but we can also show our athleticism. And we're seeing every year that more and more schools are catching on to this. What I do see and what I really actually hope is that, you know, that schools will, you know, allow these girls once they graduate from high school and they're a part of these college teams, even though we're not attached to the NCAAs or we're not attached to that, that they'll start allowing money to help with scholarships, to help with school, to allow these girls to continue on with their dream, because there are so many programs on the college level that are doing it on the next level a lot bigger than the high school teams are, and they're doing it on the level of showing higher levels of skill, higher levels of athleticism. You have great teams like the University of Kentucky, great teams like the University of Alabama that have been doing it well on the cheerleading, competitive cheerleading spectrum, and now everyone is starting to catch on to that idea. And I see in the next 5 to 7 years, the colleges starting their attacks to this and hopefully helping, you know, pay a little bit for education as well.
Wow. Wow. Well, actually, we're gonna leave it there. And Kim, real quick, give me 30 seconds. How can, if someone wants to get more information about your program, let them know where they can reach you guys.
Yeah, I can. We both coach at Burlington Township High School, so you can go on our Burlington Township High School site. Our email addresses are there, and any coach that's out there, look, even if it's a football coach, we'd be happy to talk to you too.
And also, if honestly, Kim plugged in the documentary. The documentary film may be about the history of cheerleading and two competitive teams, but it really does show how any team, you can be basketball, football, field hockey, the spirit of training and the idea of the hard work and blood, sweat, and tears that goes into being a great competitor is in this film. So you don't have to be a cheerleader to watch this film to appreciate it.
Wow.
Hey, Coach P, I just want to say it's great that you've even introduced this topic to your program, and I think for all the listeners out there, you know, there's a place for all athletes, and we just appreciate the opportunity of having this discussion with you, so thank you.
Absolutely.
And Coach Riley, Coach Riley's daughter, Coach Cheers on our team, and so we're excited that he's a cheer dad. Don't let him fool you.
Wow. I already know that about Coach Duck, man. I'll talk to you off air, Coach Duck. I already know. You know what I mean? But thank you, ladies, for coming on. Thank you, ladies, so much for coming on again. Once you've been on the show, you are now family. So, again, when I show up and want my plate, don't act like you don't know me.
No, you
so,
didn't. Thank you.
Thank you, guys,
so very much.
For coming on.
Thanks.
No problem.
Have a great evening.
You too. All right, and now we got something special for you guys. Of course, like you guys, like I told you before, we got Cam Newton coming out to San Diego. We got a lot of the Charger guys coming out. And we got the guy that's responsible for that, Coach Greg Williams, the Director of Operations for NFL Flag San Diego. Coach Williams, how you doing, brother?
How you doing today? And thank you guys for having us on.
Thank you so much for letting the National Sports Report be a part of what you guys are doing. Tell us a little bit about the event and what's going on this weekend at Poway High School.
This weekend at Poway High, we're actually having what we generally call our league kickoff skills camp. As you mentioned, we're going to have Cam Newton there. We're actually going to have some of the Charger guys are there. Jason Verrett is going to be there, actually, from the Chargers, as well as some other guys who they'll be sending out. And we're working with John Bankhead from D1 Academy in the Inland Empire. We're actually teaming up with those guys to actually have a really good kickoff event for our kids, actually get them all tuned up and get them all polished up and ready to go for season play. And this is just a great way for us to, have a great event going into our season for our kids and our community.
Tell us a little bit about your background, Coach.
A little bit about my background. I didn't really play much football. I'm just basically like a college guy, just a football junkie, and just enjoying being a part of the NFL flag and NFL Play 60 community.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, one thing I'll say, to be a part of this and to ingratiate yourself into the community the way that you're doing, to invest your time into these young men, we appreciate that. Sometimes this thing we do called coaching is so we don't get enough credit, for the effect that we have on these young men's lives. So I definitely have to say thank you so much for bringing this such a big event to the San Diego area. Mm-hmm. And, we'll definitely be there to support you. And again, the National Sports Report will be there to basically film and do interviews. And we're going to make sure that this is the largest, from a media standpoint, event that NFL Flag has seen. And again, we definitely appreciate you and what you're doing. So thank you so much for coming on the show. Any parting words, anything else that you want to tell our listeners about the NFL Flag experience in San Diego?
Well, the NFL Flag experience, our whole objective is, just like with all other coaches around the country are doing, we just want to actually just have an outlet for our kids, give them something positive to do, and actually get them to, possibly fall into the game that we all love. If you're a coach or affiliated with football in some kind of way, you have the love for it. And if we can do that, to pass that along to kids, to have them, give them an outlet to possibly become successful young men and women, we want to do that, and that's our focus and our goal.
Absolutely. And what time does the event start, and where can they find more information?
For more information, you guys can please feel free to go to NFLFlagSD.com. Once again, that's NFLFlagSD.com. And all the information will be on the website tab, Skills Camp Details. There you will actually find the agendas. We're actually going to have two sessions. We have a session that's actually going to start at 9 a.m. For ages 5 to 9, and that camp will go up until 1 o'clock. And then we will have a second session for the older guys from ages 10 to 17, and they'll start at 1 p.m. and conclude at 5 p.m. Like you mentioned, everything will be at Poway High School. We're actually going to have some of the local news coverages out there as well, KUSI, and some other guys like yourself. We're looking forward to it. We're all fired up, and we can't wait till Saturday morning.
All right, and again, like I said before, thanks, Coach William, for all you do for the and I'm sure I speak for all the guys in San Diego. Thanks so much for what you do in this great event that you're bringing to San Diego. You have a blessed evening. Thanks so much for coming on NSR Sports Radio.
Hey, no problem. Thank you guys for having us, and we can't do nothing if the community doesn't support it. So thank you guys for all that support,
right?
The NFL Flash program. We look forward to seeing you guys this weekend.
All right, thank you so much.
See you.
Thank you so much. And lastly,
no problem,
we got two. All right, and we got 2 minutes now. I know Akili, we got to get the real talk from Akili. Akili, you got 1 minute. You got 1 minute.
I'm making short and sweet. I'm starting to get a little bit upset with the lack of trainers who aren't assessing these kids correctly. Now, obviously, parents, we all want our child to go D1. We do understand that. But if your son is running a 4.8 or 4.9, he's not very strong, there's a good chance that he's not a D1 player. He might be an NAIA player, a D3 player. So with that being said, we have to start assessing these kids correctly and putting them in the right slot. Are they D1? Are they D2? Are they D3? Is JUCO an option? Don't stray away from the junior college component. It's an option. Cam Newton is coming here. He went to junior college. I went to junior college. Tony Banks went to junior college. Junior college is an option. So we got to start assessing these kids better than what we're doing. And then, at the end of the day, it's all about getting your degree paid for anyway.
All right, and guess what, guys? You guys have been listening to the champion in sports radio, NSR Sports Radio. I'm going to leave you guys with this. Believe in your brand. If you don't believe in your brand,
right,
no one else will. One thing about the National Sports Report, I believe in it. I live it. I breathe it. I sleep it. I love it. You know why? Because I know what I'm doing is helping to change lives. I'm Coach P for Akili Smith and Coach Duck. You've been listening to NSR Sports Radio on the Never Had It So Good Media Network. Football news at every level.
This is Glenn DeVoe, a camp lineman, an elite middle school all-star football team. You're listening to NSR Sports Radio.
Coach Lombardi. Coach Shula. Coach Landry. Coach Dave. Great coaches make us better players and better people. To become a better coach, visit USAFootball.com, the official youth football partner of the NFL.
Bay Praise Radio, the global gospel radio station.
The song just simply says, if he doesn't do anything else, he's already done enough. Bishop Brown wrote this song for me. Hallelujah.